Hello, everyone, and welcome to Catechism 2021. It is the 13th Lord's Day. I'll begin with a prayer. We'll get right into it. Questions 33 and 34 today. Thanks for joining. Heavenly Father, thank you. We are so grateful, at least we should be, for all that you've done for us, all that you've given to us, all that you promised in Christ. I pray that you would show us Christ today as we answer these questions and look at a passage of Scripture regarding Him. Help us to see and believe and rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. In His name, amen. All right. Lord's Day number 13, question 33. We've been talking about the Son of God each week. That is the major section that we are in. And today, question 33, why is He called God's only Son when we also are God's children? And the answer, because Christ alone is the eternal, natural Son of God. The word natural there would be referring to the uniqueness that He has always been the Son of God for you and I to become children of God. That key word I just said, become. It's something we must become by God's grace. Christ alone is the eternal, natural Son of God. We, however, are adopted children of God, adopted by grace through Christ. So there you have it. He's uniquely Son of God. He has an eternal sonship, a natural sonship. It's not something that He becomes. It's who He is. And later on today, in just a few minutes, we are going to look at John 1, 1 through 3, to see something of His uniqueness. Question 34, why do you call Him our Lord? Because not with gold or silver, but with His precious blood, He has set us free from sin and from the tyranny of the devil. And He has bought us, or redeemed us, body and soul to be His very own. So we call Christ Lord because He is our God. He is our Savior. He has redeemed us and saved us from our sin, and He has defeated all of our enemies for us. He's defeated sin, He's defeated death, He's defeated the devil. And there, here at the top of the next page, your cross references on that. And the memory verse for this week, Romans 10:9, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, both of those are important. Of course, faith that saves is something that happens in the heart. But don't be deceived. You think that you believe in your heart, but yet you never can bring yourself to confess Christ as Lord or to live as a Christian, then you're deceived about what's in your heart. But on the other side of it, you can very easily say with your mouth that Christ is Lord and put together something that outwardly might look like Christian living, but inwardly your heart is not devoted to Christ. And that's no better. But both of these are important. A true faith in the heart and a true confession with the mouth that I believe here is representative of every other outward expression or living for Christ. Let's go back to question 33. Why is He called God's only Son? I do want to look at John 1, 1 through 3. But summing up today's questions and answers, Jesus Christ is uniquely Son of God. We become children of God in Him. Our adoption is in Christ and through Christ by faith. So we can only become children of God, sons and daughters of God, in the Son of God and because of His work of redemption. And then also Christ is Lord. Jesus is Lord. He is our Savior. He is our King. All right, here we go. John 1, 1 through 3. I put some different highlights on these phrases just to demarcate some of the different things that are said. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And then verse 2 begins with a very important word here. He. So whatever else we're saying about the Word, it is a personal being. It is a personal word. He was in the beginning with God. And all things were made through Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Later on in the chapter, we find out that the Word is the Son of God. It is the personal Son of God who came to earth as Jesus in the flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. But that's always the temptation in John chapter 1 is to, whatever verse you're in, to try to say everything that's in the chapter and almost summarize everything that's in the Gospel of John, because everything does connect so intricately and powerfully. But what I want to focus on for just a few minutes here is verses 1 through 3, the Word. Who is the Word? It's the eternal Son of God. So let's look at the first phrase, in the beginning was the Word. Now the Bible begins, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. So if you are there in the beginning, you're there at creation, you're there before creation, you're there as an agent of creation. And that's exactly what it says in verse 3. All things were made through Him, which means He preceded things that were made. He cannot be a created thing. He could not have been made. The Word, He, Him, all things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So the Him right here, and then later on, Him again right here, later on, in Him, in verse 4, still talking about Him, and earlier on, verse 2, He, all referring to the Word. All right, anything that was created through Him, but He could not be a part of creation. In the beginning was the Word. The Word is an eternal. The Word is eternal. Pre-creation. An agent of creation. And the Word was with God. So you get something mysterious here. You have the Word with God. You have, in some sense, in a qualified sense, and we'll see that because of the next phrase, there's a distinction. There's some kind of distinction between the Word, the personal, eternal Word, and God, which ultimately, reading through all of John, and I told you that's why this is such a temptation. I'm tempted to go to the cross references later in John that do flesh out the relationship between God the Father and God the Son. But here, John 1:1, the Word was with God. The Word is referring to God the Son, and God is referring to God the Father. So the Son was with the Father. Then you have, and the Word was God. The Word was God. And so now this is something, it's something saying something different about the Word. First, in the beginning was the Word. He's an eternal being. And then the Word was with God. Some kind of distinction. The Son and the Father is precisely what that's talking about. But then there's an identification. There's an identity. The Word was God. So the Word, eternal. Oh, how did that happen? We'll get it back. Thanks for your patience. In the beginning was the Word, so eternal. The Word was with God. So the Son is with the Father, and now the Word was God. An identification. So the Word is a divine being, uncreated, divine being. The Word was God. The Word is God. And then verse 2 again. We know it's a personal word. He was in the beginning with God. Now let's go down here. Verse 14 is an important verse. Didn't I say I was not going to do this? Well, we'll do it for this. And the Word became flesh, dwelt among us. That's talking about the incarnation. That's talking about what we celebrate. Should be every day, should be every Sunday, but in a particular way, in a special way, around Christmas time, the incarnation, the eternal Word, the eternal Son of God, becoming a person, becoming a human to save sinful humans. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen His glory, the glory as of the only Son, unique Son, from the Father, full of grace and truth. So there's a glory to who Christ is. It's the glory of God. Christ reveals God. Well, I want to go on and on, but I can't. These are devotions. These are short devotions, and they're meant to be a springboard for you, a springboard for your prayer, a springboard for your Bible study. And again, these Catechism 2021s on Sunday and Confession of Faith 2021s each Monday are meant for discipleship tools. It's meant to spur you on. It could be for you individually. It could be for you with your family or friends. It could be you with a small group. But they're meant just to get the wheels turning, just to spur you on to prayer and to the Word of God. These are the two pillars of spiritual growth. And boy, what a time. Do we ever need prayer and the Word of God and the power of the Spirit transforming us? And prayer and Bible study will be the pillars of spiritual growth for the individual, for the family, for the church, on any level. These are the primary means of grace, the primary ways to receive and grow in God's grace. All right, I'll pray for us, and we'll see you tomorrow, Lord willing, for Confession of Faith, the 13th week. It'll be the 13th week, and I believe we're going into Article 2 of the Baptist Faith and Message. Father, thank you again. Thank you for Christ. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you. Thank you for salvation. We praise you. We honor you. And we pray that you would take our lives and make them yours more and more as the day approaches. It's in Christ we pray. Amen. All right. God bless you. We'll see you soon.